Our first story that I would like to share and lift up is Kaylin O'Leary, who has been a part of our fairly new lay leadership team. This is a group that has been learning together, not just to know what it means to be good committee people in our church, but what it really means to be empowered in this congregation and to take that out into the world.
Thank you. So like Annie said, I'm Kaylin O'Leary Moente now. I got married a couple weeks ago. She wanted to share me about my lay leadership experience. So just a little background about myself and my journey through the church and with the United Methodist Church, actually. I was raised Catholic, and kind of when I started college, I went to Florida Southern College. I had kind of traveled away from my faith. I would occasionally go to Mass or go to church, and was introduced to this church here with my relationship with Florida Southern. And my parents had actually started coming here with the relationship with my cousin. He was coming here, and kind of we all just got drawn to this church. And I slowly would just come every once in a while with my parents, and then got involved with the college group, and then that transitioned into me getting involved with a Sunday school group and getting involved with 1120 and a small group within 1120. So I kind of had been involved in First United Methodist for a while, but in these little silos and not really understanding what everything that we did as a church. And then David approached me and asked about me potentially going and being a part of this lay leadership academy that they were creating. And I kind of was like, oh, well, I felt like at that time, I think I was like 30 years old, was one of the youngest ones in the group. And I'm like, is that really do you want me in that leadership position in the church? I feel like I can think of leaders in the church. You always think of somebody that's a little more seasoned, that has more experience. I am a nurse, and I just finished my master's degree, so was trying to transition into leadership and things in my career path, and I was like, well, maybe it would be a good time. It did seem very daunting, though, when we originally were told what the Lay Leadership Academy would be. It was several weeks, I think about 2-3 months of every week getting together on a Sunday evening. So saying, it's like going to the gym. I'm going to really dedicate myself and say that I am going to be a part of this, because you don't want to say you're going to be a part of something if you can't commit to it. But they were actually great. Obviously, there were times you couldn't make it. That was fine. But not really knowing, because we were the first group to do it. So I was kind of going in blindly. They told us we were going to learn about the church, learn about leadership opportunities. I mean, they had a great plan laid out for us, but we really didn't know what we were walking into. And it was kind of amazing. I met so many people I didn't know. We have, a million different services here at the church, and I was able to meet a great group of people, some that were my age, some that were more seasoned, some that had been through things in life that I hadn't. And it was great for us to come together and be able to share our own perspectives, because we learned about things, but then we also discussed a lot so that we could kind of gain from each other's experiences, which was really, really awesome. And I felt like we were able to grow so much over that week. I mean, we were able to go down to the conference downtown and see what we do outside of our church. Learn about things that I had no idea about, our clothes closet. Learn about places like the robing room that I didn't even know existed in the church. And kind of just had that base, that foundation for us to then really talk about our gifts and what it was that we had been gifted and where we could kind of help and do that leadership piece within the church. So after some time and reflection, we looked at every council that is in our church, all the different opportunities for leadership and growth within the church, and we were able to kind of put our top choices, and then you got asked when we get asked what we want to do, and I myself was asked if I would be part of staff parish, which I had no idea everything that entailed. And it has been an awesome opportunity to be able to give my gifts of leadership and the gifts that I have from just working at a hospital, working in councils and those kind of things are stuff that I do all the time. So making decisions and those kind of things. But us all coming together and making decisions for the betterment of the church has been really awesome. And it's been great to be able to see everything we do in the community. And I just really, really appreciate the gift that was offered to me to be able to do that, so that I can hopefully be able to give something back to our church community. So I really, really encourage you guys that when those doors open, you get approached about something, the tap on the shoulder, to really take time, pray, and think about it. And if you feel like you're being led, that's where you need to do, really walk through that door, because you can be helping somebody else, but it helps to grow you so much. So I feel like I've gotten so much myself from this experience, and I hopefully have been able to give something back to the church community.
Well, I can certainly say that it has been a joy to talk with Kaylin and others who are part of Lay Leadership Academy in really talking about not just our various committees and ministries, but really to be speaking to leaders who kind of have that new vision or sense that calling of, you know, where is God calling us the next few years? And we'll be hearing from someone who has had that experience and is going through that experience. And for all of us here, as Kaylin said, we all have strengths. Strengths and gifts are very close connected with one another. And so we may think, I don't really have any gifts to share. I don't have any strengths. But that's not true. We all do. We all need that diversity. So as we continue to share our stories, it is our hope that we will have many opportunities to do that. It is great for us to do that right here in the worship of our sanctuary, but we're also looking for opportunities to do it outside of worship. So hopefully you've seen and heard how we have talked about story groups. And this is an opportunity for us to come together in small groups and just sort of share, what is it that you like about this church? You know, what maybe brought you here the very first time? What kept allowing you to come, pulling you to come? And then how is it that you have felt, seen, experienced God in the midst of this congregation? And so to talk more about this, I want to invite Cindy Harrell to come up. Cindy was actually a part of Lay Leadership Academy as well. And again, she found a part of her calling, again, not just to be in committees, but also to see how it is that we are taking that next step into the future of our congregation.
Thank you. And thank you for the worship. I was just thinking about how wonderful it is to be here this morning, worshiping, singing, seeing people I know and love, and what this place means to me. So thank you so much. Thank you for that. In the worship at the end of November, Pastor Melissa Stump and Pastor Andy Whitaker Smith mentioned that they, along with Pastor David McIntyre, Harriet Mays, and 11 lay people, had met with the congregation consultant, Sarah Rice. Sarah uses storytelling as a way for congregations to reflect on their history and identity. She helps congregations create large and small group planning processes that are unique to their situation and that help them to identify God's call to their congregation in its particular time and place. She led us through the day by asking questions to help us see where God is at work through the people of First United Methodist. This process was the beginning of discerning the direction God wants his congregation to go in the future, including where and how we should be serving. Today's part of the sermon series focuses on transitioning from learning about grace to putting it into action. Over the past several months, I've had the opportunity to move from learning to action. I've been part of this committee that is helping to plan, organize, gather stories, and envision for this church. I decided to be a part of this committee because every time I participate in something new at this church, I grow in my faith and relationship with God and others, whether it be through participation in small groups, teaching Sunday school, attending peace events, helping in the bookstore, serving on committees, or doing service projects. Why would this be any different? This journey started reflection on my own story of what First United Methodist and its people have meant to me and my family over the last 20-plus years, and my hopes for its future. It then moved to hearing other stories and hopes. The next step was organizing and planning the story groups so we could hear about even more people's stories and hopes. By serving on this committee, I have been blessed beyond what I could have ever imagined as I met new people and relied on God's grace in new ways. I have also doubted myself, been challenged, stretched out of my comfort zone, and even learn some of the tasks that it takes behind the scenes to serve the people of this church. The committee has met several times since November to help plan this process. We have also started this visioning process by hosting story group sessions for the people of First United Methodist Church. Hopefully you've heard about these through the video shared in worship a couple of weeks ago, February's first news, in emails sent out, in your small groups, and through social media. These story groups are for everyone to be able to share how they came to the church, how the church currently impacts their life, their vision for the church in the next 3 to 5 years, and what the church can do to help invite others. We want to hear everyone's story. Each of your stories will show how God is moving in different ways through different lives. Each one is unique. Each one will be helpful in developing future plans and a vision for this church. We would love for everyone here to participate in one of these story groups. There are 6 remaining sessions over the next month, and you can register on the website or fill out a form and drop it in the offering plate. However, if none of these fit with your schedule, feel free to reach out to me or any other people on the committee. Other lay people on the committee are Jexy Armand Santiago, Emily Coppolo, John Curtis, Kim Kerrigan, Jennifer Kleiss, John Nazer, Holly Parrish, Julie Roberts, Donna Swigert, and Tom Carrick, who's here with us this morning. We will figure out a time that we can hear your story and vision for First United Methodist Church. I hope that you will transition from learning to action by participating in one of these study groups. The Strategic Committee has also done a story group session with the church staff. We are also in the process of scheduling meetings with community leaders in our city, county, and schools to see their vision of how First United Methodist can be a partner with the community now and over the next several years. After these story group sessions are completed, the committee will be reviewing the responses to the questions asked to see where God is currently at work in people's lives and discerning where God is leading the congregation in the future. After the last strategic plan several years ago, the Worship Plus 3 Invite, Grow, and Serve model, along with the Lay Leadership Academy, were a couple of ideas that grew out of the visioning process. It will be exciting to see what opportunities and vision will come out of this process. I'm especially excited because it will be based on your experiences and future dreams for First United Methodist that are shared in these story groups.
One of the hard things sometimes to pull off in worship is the connection between those who are sitting and those who are standing. It can feel a lot of times as though there's only a few people who are really worshiping and the rest of us are just kind of sitting here taking it in. And so our hope is that we continue to see opportunities in which our worship not only extends through this time and space, but that we all see that we are facilitating, we are leading in worship in one way or another. We are all building those bridges between God and humanity. So you've seen some tangible, maybe even finite examples of how it is that we are all called into leadership to share our story in some way. But I'm inviting Warren to come up and to share with us more about something that I hope you've heard in passing, creating a culture of call, and how it is that all of us are being called in some way to stand up as we are able and to be those bridges between God and humanity.
Thank you, Andy. All of us want to live lives of meaning and purpose. It's perhaps the foundational human existential question. Why am I here? What's the meaning of life? Well, at First United Methodist Church, we've been peering into that deep question and exploring it through the lens of calling. You have a calling. I'll say it again. You have a calling. Every one of you. To be a disciple of Jesus is to be called to love as God loves. We are called to grow in our love of God and others. And as we enter more fully into that love, we discover, or perhaps more accurately, rediscover that we all bear the image of God and are growing into the likeness of God. The early church theologians called this theosis. A Greek term literally meaning make divine. In our Methodist Wesleyan tradition, we call this process sanctification. We're becoming more and more like Christ, growing in holiness. And we have to practice these things that we've been exploring together over these last several weeks. We have to intentionally put ourselves into the flow of God's grace. So the metaphor we've been talking about is this metaphor of a gym. Another way that I like to think of it is... Another way I like to think of grace is as a river full of refreshing water, an ever-flowing stream like the one that we saw on the screens during the offertory today. We can sit on the bank of the river, just as that song says, and we can watch that water flow on by, or we can jump in and get into the flow of God's gracious action in the world, and we can get into that flow of grace and grow in our love of God of others. And we can find that our lives and callings are formed and are deeply imbued with meaning and purpose. Biblically speaking, we're all called from the beginning. Genesis describes God calling creation into being. God tells Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." In our baptism, We affirm our calling as a community, and we affirm our responsibility to help those who are baptized to be aware of and respond to their callings. All of us are called to be followers of Jesus, and we're called to discern what that discipleship looks like in our lives and in our communities, and then to incarnate that calling in our contexts. As Andy mentioned, for the past couple of years, our church has been part of a Lilly Grant-funded project called Creating a Culture of Calling, or C3 for short. We're fond of consonants with the number 3 around here. We got C3 and G3, worship plus 3. So we're one of 24 congregations across the country who are part of this initiative. And these 24 churches come from a variety of settings. Some of them are urban or suburban, rural, different racial compositions and various denominational traditions. We have churches from AME, Anglican, Christian Church Disciples of Christ, Episcopal, Presbyterian, Roman Catholic, United Methodist, and even a non-denominational church. So this is a 3-year project, and we have gatherings with the leaders from these various congregations that we gather about once a year. And then each month we have a video chat with our coach to help us in our work. Some of you may have met our coach, Vaughn Clemens, Reverend Vaughn Clemens, when he came to visit us last year. But the first year of this focus, we're heading into our 3rd year, but the first year was really kind of introducing the themes of calling. And so we started that in Lent of 2018, and we wanted to create a vocabulary of calling and to infuse and embed the themes of calling into all aspects of our church life, in Sunday worship, in the seasons of the church year, in our faith formation and Christian education opportunities, in the prayer life of our congregation and service ministries and projects. We imagined a church where all people were putting themselves into the flow of God's grace, opening themselves to God's callings in their life and finding the resources to respond to them. So there were a number of things that we did. We wanted to help people to be able to describe who they are, their identity, and how they live in terms of God's calling in their lives. And one of the resources that we used is an excellent book called The Stories We Live by Kathleen Cahalan. You can get this in our Giving Tree bookstore. Through that, we explored that book through intergenerational events, growing in faith together, age-level small groups. We were wanting to know how we can share one another's stories. You've heard a lot about stories today, but stories and relationships are central to what it means to be a called people. At one point, a member of the small group, men's small group that I'm in, remarked, it seems like we're talking about calling an awful lot lately. And I was like, yes, that's intentional. So the second year, which we just concluded, focused on a lifelong approach to discovering and nurturing callings. So one of the things that we learned is that callings are not just for adults, and callings are not just for a particular subset of adults. We often talk about callings amongst emerging adults or young adults, but callings happen all across our lifespan. People of all ages and stages, we wanted to help them to discover their callings and to be equipped to live their callings in daily life. So there were a number of things that we did, particularly focused on children, because we really wanted people to recognize that children have callings as well. And so our children's ministry staff did a series on Sunday evenings called Uniquely You about the spiritual gifts of children. And then we wanted to lift up the callings that our preschool children have and called to be kind and to learn what it means to reflect God's kindness to one another. And so we had a traveling photo exhibit that went around our church property for about 4 or 5 weeks. And there's beautiful photos of these children that were taken by our preschool staff, who themselves are called to offer God's love in that way. We celebrate callings and milestones in the lives of our church family, of course, births and baptisms, but think about going back to school, the callings that are involved in that, receiving our third grade Bibles, confirmation, graduation, new jobs, new callings, retirement. There's a lot of callings in retirement. I'm not there yet, but my dad retires on Friday. So we're excited about that, and I know he's going to be living into his calling to be a grandfather and be here a bit more, so you may be seeing him here in Lakeland. We're excited about that. But these new callings, as new ministries are started and new relationships are formed, and this third year that we've just begun is a missional focus. We're taking the themes of calling beyond the walls of the church. So just as we've been talking about going from learning to doing, we're literally going to be taking this that we've been learning about calling and living out our callings and then taking it beyond the walls of the church. Because all people want to live lives of meaning and purpose, whether they attend church or not. And we believe that all people are called, not just the ones who are in church. And our calling as the body of Christ is to be Christ's hands and feet in the world. So our task is to be in the world, partnering with God who is already there, to help people become aware of the flow of divine love and to walk with them in that flow. So a lot of this is still taking shape, but it also ties in very much with what many of you are already doing in the outgrowth of your callings. We're exploring projects and activities to go out into the community to lift up the themes of calling and meaning and purpose and beauty. There's an app, a smartphone app, that's being developed. It's called All Called. It's a tool that we can use in that work, and we want to see relationships formed and nurtured with those who are uninvolved and unaffiliated, and really to find out how we can connect their stories with God's story as all grow in our love of God and neighbor. So one of the other things we learned about callings is that callings are multiple. We don't just have one calling. Sometimes people say, hey, I missed my calling, or I found my calling. Well, there are multiple callings. And so, for instance, I'm called to be a husband to Angie and a father to Luke. I'm called to serve here as the director of adult ministries. I'm called to be a musician. That's just a few of the callings that I have. But callings are multiple, and as I mentioned, they happen across the lifespan. But one of the key learnings that we found is that callings are formed, not found. So when we talk about someone says, I've missed my calling or I found my calling, that's really about these practices we've been talking about, the means of grace, the ways that we enter into the flow of God's love and action in our life, that is how our callings are formed in our life experience, God's action in our life, whether we're aware of it or not. Christian author Paula Darcy has a quote that I love to share. She says, God comes to you disguised as your life. And so we want to be in these relationships with one another where we can reflect on our life and how God is coming to us, the relationship with God and with others, and that these practices, these means of grace, are helping us to get there. Frederick Buechner, a famous author, pastor, and theologian, has said, the place that God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Ultimately, our callings are not for ourselves. They're not to make us feel better about who we are and what we do, though as we grow into the likeness of Christ and follow God's callings in our life, we're likely to find fulfillment. But our callings as followers of Jesus are to call attention to the ways that our world is already drenched in the amazing, life-giving love of God. We are called, above all, to love. And if there's anything that this world is hungry for, it's love. All of us are called. All of us are invited to follow Jesus and to love as God loves. How will you answer the call?
Thank you, Warren. So it is our hope that we experience that formation. And again, like Warren said, it's not about finding, but it is about forming. And that is deeply biblical. It is deeply part of our story, much like God's hands being immersed into this world and forming something out of it. We continue to be formed. It is not about learning to a point and then we have everything that we need and then we go out and we serve, whatever that may be. We continue to learn as we serve, but at some point we transition, we transfigure from where we are today to where God is calling us to be in the very near future. And so as we continue to hopefully discern what that formation might be, it might come to you in a Bible study, it might come to you out in the street, it might come to you during worship, wherever it may be, it will not be the final piece. There will be another one and another one after that. And it is our hope that we will continue to experience that together. And so I invite us to hear these words which come from 2 Timothy that maybe might be that voice, that invitation for us to go deeper and to go higher. Now you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, and my suffering, the things that happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. what persecutions I have endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Indeed, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But wicked people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and even being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. We acknowledge that we do not learn everything that we need when we are called to take that next step. And that's why it can be so frightening at times. As the lyrics said, you have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and yet I feel that pull to just kind of want to stay where I am, to be safe, to be nestled, to be comforted. And yet we are called to go not just higher, but deeper. Sometimes we don't answer that call. Sometimes we do answer it. We go with both feet forwards and we trip. Sometimes we go in the exact opposite direction. Whatever path we have taken, it has led us here. And we acknowledge that many times we do not get it right. Sometimes we don't learn as much as we should, or we don't listen as much as we should, or we just go gung-ho and we've totally forgotten our map. But as we go now into this time of confession, it is a time for us to acknowledge that just because we make mistakes, just because we have made wrong choices, just because we have sinned, does not mean that that is the end of our story. We are still called to come to this table. But as we do so, we acknowledge together that we still, all of us, have much to learn. I want to thank all of our worship leaders this morning, those who shared, those who led us, including Mr. Ron over here with his great portrait. As I was looking at it, I was thinking, what might Jesus be saying? And would he say, you know, okay, everybody with a red head go into the red building and everybody with a blue? No, I think he would probably say something like, the kingdom of God is when green heads go into blue buildings, when blue heads go into red buildings, and when people in the blue buildings come out and they interact with those who have green heads. And we are called to go out into many different places. And so as we go forth, I invite us to do so again in spirit and in voice together as we participate in this litany of action. This should be on the screen. There we go. God of all, you call us to be the hands and feet of Christ, to be instruments of your love in the world. Use us, O God. Use us to spread the good news of Jesus Christ in a world where bad news abounds. Use us, O God. Use us to reach out to the lonely, the despairing, the poor, the despised, the sick, the grieving, the dying, and the hopeless. Those who we know and those who we do not know, help us to touch them in your healing power that they might find hope and renewal, forgiveness and faith, wholeness and purpose in you. Use us, O God. Use our lives as living examples of Christ in the world, giving himself in love. Use us, O God. Use our talents to bring Christ to all people and to bring them to him. Use us, O God. Use our resources and our offerings to undergird and continually expand our ministry in our community and in the world. Use us, O God. Use our church as a place for all people, a refuge in the storm, a focus for faith, a house for worship, a portal of peace, a fountain of forgiveness, a school for learning, a resource for equipping, and a center for mission. Use us, O God. Almighty and all-loving God, we are nothing without you and without your love. And yet with you, we have all we need for life, for love, for faith, for strength, for purpose, for mission. Because you have called us, loved us, and saved us through your Son, we are your church in this place. Guide and direct us, your church, in your love. Bless our work to the increase of your reign. Work miracles among us and with us and through us so that our ministry may continually grow and so that many more may be called, loved, and saved through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And let us depart in this prayer together. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine, and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant made now on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Go in peace.